Hey, you found us. It's the Ben and Matt Sportscast. I'm Ben Glicksman with my tag team partner, Matt Story. And Matt pointed out before we started recording that we've talked about how things were better before and that we should change it up. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the end of Pac-12 basketball and the retirement of Sting and some wrestling stuff. So
That's right. Yes.
You know, let's start with the end of Pac-12 basketball, ASU closing out their Pac-12 regular season and all Pac-12 regular seasons.
We get to bring the curtain down tonight. Last game that we'll finish. Yeah, yeah.
And I want to be clear, as a Pac-12 fan, no place I'd rather be to do that than Pauley Pavilion.
True. You know, I think you mentioned this. I want to say when the season started, or maybe even when the schedule came out, that, you know, like, almost think might have made sense to do Arizona UCLA in the last spot. That's kind of the rivalry that probably defined Pac-10 basketball, and you know, they chose not to do that. That happened on kind of an anonymous Thursday night without much fanfare.
Yeah,
a little odd, but you know, whatever. Maybe I thought at the time, and I didn't work out this way, that maybe they thought, you know, well, USC is going to be really good this year, and that'll be the matchup, you know, to decide the conference title. That certainly did not come to pass with USC. But, I mean, you know, it's a shame that, who knows, the next time we'll play a game in Pauley Pavilion. You know, maybe a non-conference thing is possible, I guess, but... you know, it stinks that that's coming to an end, but yeah, we get to bring it to a close tonight. I didn't even realize that till a couple days ago, that's the last Pac-12 regular season game tonight at 9 o'clock Arizona time.
Yeah. Unfortunately I'll call my shot now and say, I'm not going to see it, live. I'm going
to
watch it on tape.
Go back and watch the end or something.
Me too.
But yeah, I probably will not see it either. We do have the tournament. I don't think, I thought this is where you were going to go with call your shot. I'll call this shot. We won't play the last Pac-12 basketball game ever, because that would mean we made the Pac-12 tournament final. And I don't think that's going to happen. I guess you never know. You know, until you lose, you still have a shot. But at least we get the last regular season game.
Yeah. I completely agree. I don't think that is what we're going to see.
The Pac-12 tournament, like, if there's any reason to celebrate the end of the Pac-12, and there's not many, but the Pac-12 tournament has been a bane of ASU fans' existence. A lot of... you know, first round disappointments.
Occasionally, first game. Because we're often in that first, you know, early afternoon game.
Yeah,
in Vegas.
Which we could be again. I think if we lose tonight, there's a pretty good chance we end up in that 8-9 noon game. You know, which, you know, I guess you'd have a shot to win it. I suppose 8-9, but then you're facing Arizona in the next one. And in spite of what, you know, a couple of our players said, and I appreciate the confidence after the game in Tempe, like, oh, I think we can beat that team. Like, I don't think we can. It's been two pretty lopsided losses. One really, really lopsided in Tucson.
We could in the sense that, like, you know, if Collins and Perez go, you know, sure, 13 of 15 from three.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it'll start 0-0, and that always gives you a chance. It's not like we have to start 20 points down. But yeah, it's unlikely that we're going to make any run. This isn't a year where, you know, you have any expectation. But boy, there've been a fair amount of Pac-12 tournaments that have ended in disappointment. Even the one, you know, the best performance we had when we made the final in 2009. You know, we had a pretty sizable second half lead against Washington. I remember, I don't know what the biggest margin was, but it was double digits, and it disappeared on us. And that was, I remember just the feeling of like, and that was a chance to do something that had never been done by ASU basketball. And the thought of like, are you going to get that chance again? And in 15 years later, we haven't. And if we don't get it this year, we never will, at least in this conference.
Yeah.
been some tough goes. I mean, you were at one. Did you with the year you went, wasn't that Herbs last year?
Yeah, and we got USC. Bounced. We got bounced in the first game of the weekend.
Yeah, 5-12, right?
Yeah. I had a suitcase with many ASU shirts and I wore one and then wore generic blank t-shirts for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah. It was USC, wasn't it? They were the 12 seed. Am I remembering that right?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes,
yeah,
you
I know
are.
It was 5-12.
No, you are remembering that right. We were.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. You know, it's burns in my mind. I remember thinking like that's got to be it for Herb, and it was. So that was what 2015. Is that right? In Hurley's first year was 15-16. So God, 9 years. Wow. But yeah, I mean the loss. I remember the loss to USC in the quarterfinals in 08. That probably cost us the tournament. If we win that game, I think that was the 4-5 game. We win that game, we're probably in. And, you know, lost in somewhat controversial fashion. I remember there was an offensive foul called on Pendergrass that on a putback that would have put us ahead with like less than a minute to go and called him over the back, I believe it was. So yeah, it's been a LA or Vegas, doesn't matter where, it's been a not so fun thing for ASU basketball.
So I'm going to pause this for a second. We're still recording because I'm going to share this story because he's not listening anyway.
Okay.
I just got a text from my dad. So my dad wrote a book. He wrote a book, and he's at the Tucson Festival of Books this weekend trying to sell it. And he just sent a text message to me and my brother saying, "What's my Venmo so that people can Venmo me to buy the book?" And it's like, golly, that is not good.
Yeah,
that's how you're planning to sell this book, and you don't even know how people can pay.
You don't know how to do it. Yeah. That's the way it goes sometimes.
But hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah, maybe it'll work. I don't know if you can answer that for him.
I mean, I could, and then Zach showed him how to get the QR code, but it's like,
gotcha.
I mean, like, the thing is today. And it's like, don't you think you need to, like, print the QR code?
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to text him that now. Maybe print the QR code and laminate it at your booth.
That makes sense.
Like, you know. Okay. Well, you know. All right. We'll go back. Let's go back to what we were talking about, which is the Pac-12 conference tournament has never been and will probably never be a big thing for ASU.
There's
one more chance, as you said, for this.
And slim and none, and slim is leaving town, as Lee Corso would say. Maybe we're owed some magic. Maybe all those years of suffering is going to pay off with four magical days in Vegas next week.
I'll throw this out.
I strongly doubt it, but you never know. No.
I will throw this out, though. If Arizona gets beat by somebody, we could beat anybody else.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, you know, we did beat Washington State, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Here, when they're the 2 seed. You know, that's been the thing about this team, and I mean, I guess it's the hallmark of a mediocre team, which our record is going to show, they've had some solid wins. I mean, like, you know, they started 4-0 in the conference, it's not like anything tremendous, but there have been some moments where you thought like, you know, this team has a little bit in them, but just too many, like, just kind of empty performances. I mean, just games that like you're left like thinking like, well, there's nothing there. Like you didn't even really compete that hard. It feels like.
Follow up. Zach sent him a picture of his QR code so that he could see what it looks like, and then he just asked Zach to print it, which is Zach's. So okay. I don't even know if, you know, I know that no one listens to this, but I'll try to keep people posted on how this goes, because this is this is hysterically funny. Zach now has said, can you send me a screenshot of yours? I'm almost certain he cannot.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, yeah.
And then Zach... I said that he shouldn't print Zach's, and Zach said, well, hold on a second, because maybe Zach will just take the money.
I suppose, yeah. He could do that, yeah.
So, anyway. But look, I think... The other thing that we might be closing in on the end of is all of the Hurley family's ASU time.
Yeah, well, we know the Bobby, the son is done.
Trey,
right?
Trey Hurley, Bobby the third.
Yes. He had a senior day. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, it's funny to compare it, because we just talked about when you were there for what ended up being Herb's last game, and you know, as soon as that game ended, it felt like you gotta. It's done. There's no choice. I don't have a vibe.
Oh no,
I don't really know. I mean, we've
well, we don't have
it.
An AD.
We don't have right. I mean, so like, how are you going to get a vibe? Who's making the call if you're moving on from him? Who's even making that decision? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know what to expect. I guess I'm like 50-50. If you said, you know, he gets a new job in the next 3 weeks, that wouldn't shock me. But if you said, you know, he's back here, you know, in November, that wouldn't stun me either. I don't know why he would be, unless there's just not a better opportunity for it.
I mean, the worst thing for ASU is if he decides to leave on his own, because, like...
Which I think is more likely than firing him.
Yeah, but we have no one in a position to fire him, but we have no one in a position to make the hiring.
Right, yeah. You know? So, I mean, this is made with no insight whatsoever. I'm not around the university much at all. I don't talk to, you know... But, I mean, I get the feeling that the thought is like, yeah, he's our coach. He's not going anywhere. Everything's, you know, status quo. That's just my guess, is that that's the ASU assumption. It's like, yeah, he'll be back next year. Maybe he will, and I guess that might be better than the alternative, because we're not in a position to hire someone, it doesn't feel like. So, who knows? It feels like we're at the end of the rope, but yet there's no next rope to pick up, it doesn't feel like. So maybe we just hang on to this one for another year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
see what happens.
Dangling loosely.
Yeah. You just kind of see what happens and see if he can maybe, you know, again, probably rebuild the roster, because you have to do that every year, and have a little bit more 2023 success than 2024.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be the best we can hope for, as much as I hate to say it. Hey, you know, they're intent on expanding the tournament, so maybe we can get some more, you know, trips to Dayton out of it.
Yeah. You know,
if they go to 72, that you know, that's our sweet spot, man.
Mm-hmm.
More games in Dayton, first eight, or whatever they'll call that.
Yeah, the opening eight, the not so great eight.
I was gonna say the not so elite eight. Yes. The less elite eight. Who knows what they're doing with that and when that's gonna happen? But you know, disappointing finish. I mean, barring what, making it to at least the semifinals, and that's with a win tonight, we're going to finish with an under 500 record.
Yeah.
14-16 now. So if we won tonight and won two games in the conference tournament and then lost in the semis, we'd finish 500.
Yeah.
Yay. Should we transition to something more exciting?
Yeah, let's talk about professional wrestling.
That's right. Because that is exciting, and it's cool again, per The Rock. And he's not totally wrong. It is peaking right now.
So The Rock is back as a vaguely regular.
Yeah, I mean, two SmackDowns in a row, and he's on next week too.
And a heel, and he cut a 20-minute heel promo.
Yes. And then 10 minutes last night before the before there, he's got to work on his timing a little bit, because like the segment almost went long last night, and it went way long last week apparently.
Well, I think he did like 40 minutes last week.
Yeah, the first part was Roman.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was way over. Apparently it went like 10 plus minutes over what was allotted. So, yeah, I mean, the crowd plays a role in that too. Obviously, responding to things, and you gotta let things sit. But might see the rust a little bit that he's not okay, you got 10 minutes, do it in 10. It's like, okay, you got 10. Well, I'll get it done at about 25.
Yeah, I'll say all the things you need me to say.
Right, yeah. But it's been good, man. It's been humorous. He took some shots at my sort of home city last week. Yeah. Phoenix is the number one city for crack and meth use. I don't know if that's true. Could be. But, I laughed. That's the easiest way to get heel heat. Take some shots at the city.
Yeah. The problem is, if he had attacked the teams, you would have been cheering. So.
I would have. Yes. I'm surprised he didn't do that, because that is an easy way to get heat, but I would have enjoyed it. We got the official, we finally got it set. The night one tag match is in place.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and Roman against Cody and Seth. And did you see what the stakes are? I like that they put some stakes on it.
That they get to pick the stipulation.
Basically, like, so if Cody's team wins, then no bloodline is allowed involved in the match whatsoever, according to The Rock.
Honor
straight
system.
Up one-on-one.
Honor
nobody
system.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
Exactly. They said they'll get the lawyers, and they'll sign the papers and all that. But if Rock's team wins, then it's bloodline rules, which means anything goes. They could do whatever they want. He even got a nice little, he almost got Solo to break character when he said Solo would sing the national anthem before the match. That was kind of funny. And Solo did the old trick of my nose itches to not show that he was about to laugh.
Yeah.
I like the stakes, and I like that it makes it a little unpredictable, but you could see that going either way.
Well, and so what I think is that Rock and Roman will win night one.
I think so, too. I agree.
Because I think they have to.
It sort of feels like that's the... Because then you can have the interference, and then you can have people come to Cody's defense and have it just kind of, be a crazy scene.
It lets you spin out the next two steps, you know?
Does.
Like,
it does.
Because you
it
do that...
The mystery of what happens on Sunday. Does Rock turn on Roman? Does Roman turn on Rock? I keep thinking that's a possibility. Like, the whole thing feels like a setup. Okay, Rock is probably going to turn on Roman. He's going to be he's going to cost Roman. He'll be the good. But, like, what if Roman does the heel turn on him? Like, he doesn't want, I don't need you stealing my spotlight. He turns on him. Maybe even as part of that match. Like, that's the one thing you could do. If you're going to have Cody's team win, that's the way you Roman decides, I don't need The Rock. I don't need anybody's help.
Yeah.
I'm the tribal chief. I can face him one-on-one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. I don't think
that happens, but I think it would work if they went that route.
So here's where I think it goes, is that they win and it's bloodline rules, but then you have somebody come to his aid. Stallone.
Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be Stallone. It could be anybody from Dusty's era.
Yeah.
Cena's
got the old rivalry with The Rock. Cena's been on a couple of things, I know, mentioning that, he's hoping to be involved in WrestleMania or something. So, there's a lot of, and they've also kind of been slowly building this, all right, Cody's rallying the troops.
Yeah.
Seth is on his side.
What if it's Orton?
I was going to say
the
Orton
legacy.
Or LA Knight or Jey Uso. You got all these guys who have been screwed over by the bloodline guys. So you could just have it be a series.
Yeah.
Jey comes out and takes out Jimmy, and Orton comes out and takes out Solo. And then you're left with just The Rock. And at the last minute, The Rock decides, nope, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
Roman. Like, I think we talked about this. I feel like that's the way you got to do it. If you have Rock do the turn, you don't have Rock
hit Roman.
You don't have Rock beat up Roman and then Cody gets the cheat pin.
No.
You have Rock just refuse to help Roman cheat. Like, Roman yells at him, "Get me a chair," and Rock just stares at him and walks away. And you get that, like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, he's turning his back on his blood.
Yeah. And that, you know, that you can either take to next Mania or to SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yeah, yeah. And then Cody gets the win in a legitimate fashion. Like, if Cody wins, it needs to happen with, you know, the crossroads 1-2-3 pin. Rock comes in and hits Roman with a chair and a rock bottom, and then Cody crawls over and gets the pin. Like, no. You can't end the reign like that.
Yeah. Well, now, let me throw out one thing that I did consider as part of this, which is, okay, maybe I agree with you that you can't do that. But can you have Cody get the pin 1-2-3, and then all of a sudden you get the Priest cash in and you recreate the Dusty thing where Dusty had the title for just a second?
Oh no. I mean, can you? I guess I would hate it.
And then you have Cody Priest at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you could. God, that would suck. I think that's a possibility with the Drew Seth.
Yeah.
Is that Drew wins. And it's like, okay, McIntyre's bitterness finally pays off. He gets his crowning moment in front of the fans, and then he loses right away in a cash-in. And that just makes him even more of the bitter heel because, like, you once again took my moment type of thing. Now, it doesn't quite work because then it's heel-heel. And I don't know if, like, it, you know, could they turn Priest face? Could they turn Judgment Day face? They probably could.
Yeah, well, or could Judgment Day break up at this point? Like,
they could break up. I mean, Rhea's popular.
Yeah,
like, Rhea's over as a face. So if they somehow, if like Dominic was no longer part of it, you know, either they boot him out or something. Like, you could probably turn them face. People would cheer Balor. They have in the past.
Yeah, have them drop the titles, right?
Yeah,
you have them drop the tag titles, and then you have, you know, I don't know. You have Finn go away for a while and come back as the demon.
You could. Priest just breaks out on his own.
Yeah, Priest has the title.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where you, but I kind of think that makes sense. But, oh man, if they did that with Cody, I hadn't even considered that.
First thought when I was like, man, they really still haven't figured out what to do with Priest.
You're running out of time. I mean, it's what, July?
Yeah.
Is the 1 year? So you got to do something fairly soon with him. I mean, you got 3 months after Mania, basically, until supposedly 1 year ends.
Well, and I will say, I heard the start of this from Cheap Heat when they talked about, is there a better time to try to take the title as the cash-in when the, you know, if Seth wins, his, you know, either way on night two, Seth, Cody, and Roman are all on their third or second match.
True.
You know, making them fight a third match if they win, you know,
there is logic to it. And it's also like, if you're not sure that Priest is really a main event guy, and I'm not sure that they're sure of that, like post Mania is probably the time to try it. You know, that's kind of the hangover season, you know? So like you give him a run, you know, you put a belt on him. And if it doesn't get over, if the fans seem lukewarm towards it, you could take it off of him at Backlash.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you got some time before SummerSlam. You got Backlash, you know, SummerSlam's early August, I think it's going to be. So you got a couple of slots you could take it off. And you could even take it off on a Raw. Do a title change on Raw every now and again. Like, whoa, oh my God, you know, I got to watch Raw because they had a title match.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the right time. I mean, I hadn't considered the Cody one, but yeah, that if you want to build him into massively hated and really piss people off, then that's the way to do it. You have Cody win, and then he doesn't even walk out the champ.
Well, because, you know, remember in his comeback speech, he put up the photo of Dusty, and he's like, and this was on the mantle, and he had it, and then they took it away from him.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like,
God, I hadn't considered that option, but I guess it is. I like I said, I've been thinking he ends up a factor in the Seth Drew. My thought, this to me makes sense. Although Seth is still really over as a face, but I kind of feel like Seth, all this, you know, oh, he's helping Cody, you know, he loses, Cody wins, and then on the Monday night, you get the Seth heel turn. You know, he's out there to congratulate Cody, you know, you saved, and then, you know, he turns on him, beats him down, yells that, you know, he's the reason he lost his title, you know, he took his eye off the ball type of thing, and you build him into the next rival for Cody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely on the table.
Especially if you do a Roman Rock friction angle, like, you know, so you kind of take Roman out of the picture for a while. You don't, you know, so Cody needs a rival if he's going to be the champ. Well, you got the old story with Seth, their matches when he came back, the Hell in the Cell, and then this chapter, it makes a lot of sense. If you want to turn him, this feels like a great time to do it.
Yeah.
But again, he got a great reaction last night. You know, in the ring with, you know, Roman, Cody, and Rock, like, if people are singing his song, and, you know, it's like, so maybe you don't do that. Maybe he's still there as a top flight face. He doesn't need a refresh.
Yeah. Well, and I just, it's, you know, something we've talked about. They've got so many top of the card guys right now.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Intercontinental and U.S. titles. Because with so many top of the card guys, it's like, I mean, it feels like Orton's definitely going to be involved with Logan Paul, but they're kind of setting up Owens to be part of that too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so do you just do a triple threat, or do you put more guys in as a ladder match, which I think we talked about? Like, I love that idea of like a 6-man ladder match for the title. I like that idea for the Intercontinental title too. You can't do both.
Yeah.
Because it'd be, you know, but like, we've talked about how you take the belt off Gunther. Who do you know? Well, if he loses it in a ladder match, nobody actually pins him. Then he keeps his air of invincibility, but the title comes off him, and he can move up to the world title picture.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I've heard, you know, maybe that's a spot for Priest, because they showed with Austin Theory, you know, you can cash in on any title.
They did. Yeah. You know, and they kind of hinted at that a couple weeks ago on Raw. Like, they came out and, you know, and Gunther even said something about, you know, you're not cashing that in on me or something, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, like, they're doing this, which could be really good on Monday, a gauntlet match to supposedly determine the you know, who's going to face Gunther at Mania. And I'm wondering if, like, we come out of that with some sort of shady finish where they can put multiple guys against him, because, like, they're really building Gable, but they're also building Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, all a triple threat could be good. It was great last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. I think that gauntlet match is a great way to spend your TV time to make it,
for sure,
as you said,
for sure.
You gotta
you
watch.
You can make it 45 minutes or an hour, you know, and you got some, I mean, like, Ricochet's not going to win, but he's a good worker. He'll you know, Nakamura's not going to win, but he's good. You know, like, it really only makes sense that it's Sami Zayn or Chad Gable as the winner. So I'm thinking it comes down to the two of them, and do you do some sort of, like, controversial finish, you know, double pin, Gunther comes out and interrupts it or something, where you end up with, okay, both of you get a chance.
Yeah. Or you make Gunther fight both nights, and we just keep having chance fight every night.
Yeah. That's true. That's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but you're right with all the, like, I mean, you wouldn't have thought Randy Orton would be in a U.S. title feud, but it kind of, like, there's not a spot for him in the world title picture right now. So, like, okay, you got these guys. Let's put them in there together. Why not? You still want him on the card somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that we get one more Orton title run. Like,
world title.
Actual, yeah. Because he...
I could see it, yeah.
Like...
Yeah. I don't think soon.
I don't think
I could
soon,
see it in,
but
you know,
I also
like
think,
late,
like...
this year or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, well, I don't think soon, but I think Rumble? Like,
maybe.
Could
maybe,
he...
Yeah.
Because, like, he's a guy who he's reached that stage because he's a full-timer, you know, setting aside his injury. But the injury actually adds to this of, you've been around so long that we now are just happy we see you. You know, you've reached that level of like, you made it. We are just thrilled that you're here because you're still compelling. You're still good. And so it's like, give him one more run because he's only going to be around. He's in his 40s.
You'd think a not so long amount of time, especially after a nearly career ending injury, you can't count on him being around for, you know, five more years. If he is, great, but maybe not. So, I mean, he would make some sense for a rivalry with Cody, with their history.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it makes sense. Like, he's a great heel. He's been a fantastic heel over his run. But, like, he seems to be comfortable in this role now of, like, the elder statesman, fan favorite. He's having fun. You know, like, do you turn him heel? You could. But it, I don't know, it seems a little like, well, maybe just let him be the elder statesman fan favorite guy. Let ride that wave.
Yeah.
Now, he is a great heel. And the same idea I have about Seth. Post-Mania, Cody's championship celebration. Here comes his one-time stablemate, Randy, to congratulate him. And then, boom, RKO with 1 minute left of the show, and then he just has that psychotic stare at him, like, would get a huge reaction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you, if you don't want to turn him, you could have him just, you know, go the other way. He and Seth both can have the same argument of, like, you know, I came back from a career-threatening back injury because you asked me to do a Hell in a Cell or a War Games or whatever.
Right. Know? Yeah, that's right. Survivor Series, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you asked me, and I did it. And I said, you owe me one.
That's true.
I would like to cash in my one.
You could just do the face versus face thing. That works. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, you could, that's a good way to go about it, yeah. I don't know. I mean, hey, that's, in some ways, like, I always go back to this when we have these, you know, it's like, well, if you don't know, that's what makes it good. If we're sitting here 4 weeks out from WrestleMania and like, well, you know, this is going to happen and you know, this is going to happen. And like, well, it's like, well, all right, that's less fun. It's more fun when it's like, well, they could go this way or there's seven other ways they could go.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't even addressed the possibility of, did they keep the title on Roman? I mean, I really hope not, but they did it last year.
I don't think they'll do it. But I don't know that it necessarily has to be with Cody walking out because of the Priest thing. Like,
right.
You could have Roman win and then Priest cashing in on Roman, which no one would expect.
That's true.
I'm not sure that's how you want to end this, you know, incredibly long title run.
Probably not. I would think, I agree. It would seem a little cheap.
But Roman's going away again. Like, that's to me the reason why you gotta take it off of him is like, do you really want to have a, let's say, second but really third year where your title's just not on TV most
barely
of the year?
Yeah. I mean, he was on a lot. Like, you could probably go back and look if you wanted to. I haven't done so. But it feels like he was on a lot less between Mania 23 and now than the year prior. And the year prior, he was part-time. You know, it wasn't like he was on every show. But, man, I mean, after WrestleMania, like, I know he only did three title defenses at pay-per-views. Yeah. SummerSlam, the Saudi show, and Royal Rumble. And he was in one other pay-per-view, I think, in the tag match against the Usos. When Jay pinned him. Was Money in the Bank, I think it might have been, or something, you know. But that's it. And it's like, I know you created the other title, and okay, that's good. But still, it's like, man, if he's going to work that limited of a schedule, that's fine. All right, he's in that stage of his career, cool. Then he doesn't need to be the champ. It's like Lesnar was for a while there. Like, just bring him back for big, you know, bring him back before SummerSlam, have a feud. Bring him back at Royal Rumble, have a big feud at Mania. Okay, that's, you know, he's still box office. people still react when he comes out, but like he doesn't need to be the champ if he's going to be on 20% of the time.
Well, exactly. And it feels like, you know, I hate to say this, but you've buried Seth's title, right?
A little bit.
Like you, in the process of doing this, you've had to bury Seth's title, or you've chosen to bury his title.
A little bit with some of the things Roman has said and Rock has said. It's like, you know, I get that they're heels, but yeah, it does come off as like, okay, well, actually, you know, like, aren't they kind of right? Which is another reason why it almost plays into the Seth heel turn after this. If he loses, like, I, you know, everybody was out to get me, you know, the whiny heel, it always works. It's what Drew McIntyre's doing right now. You know, no one gave me my respect, and I'm going to take it back. But yeah, you kind of have with this buildup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Seth is kind of playing the number four in this four-man story.
Well, and he, like, had to beg Rock, or not beg Rock, beg Cody, like, try my right. title matters. I fight.
Right, that's true, too, yeah.
And it's
when I think they were going to go with that, I know they say, you know, now it's like, oh, this was all part of the plan. But I feel like that was the direction they were going, was that Cody was going to choose to face Seth, and Rock was going to face Roman, and until everybody revolted, and then it's like, no, that's not what we were doing. No, definitely not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and yeah, I think all of this comes from they didn't have, they assumed it would be Punk Seth. And they lost that.
Yes. I think they left Royal Rumble night with like, okay, well, Cody is clearly choosing Roman. He's pointing up at him in the skybox, and then Punk's going to be there to win Elimination Chamber, and he'll face Seth. And then when he gets hurt, they had to pivot, which, okay, you have to in that case. And they've actually landed in a pretty good spot, I feel like. I mean, I heard Punk's going to be on the Raw before Mania. Like, a Punk special guest ref in the Seth Drew match makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. They both just ripped him nonstop. They both say they hate him. Put him in there, and then it's like he's completely objective because he hates both of them, too.
Yeah.
If you want him involved in the show, which I think he is going to be somehow, I mean, you know, Drew spent the last month, you know, ripping him and saying, you know, he ended his main event chances, and, you know, the doctors told him he might not be able to fight at Mania. Who do you think I am, CM Punk? Like, you know, like, it's been great. Seth is ripping him all the time. Like, that's a perfect spot.
Yeah.
So they took a circuitous route, but I feel like they've landed in a good place with the Seth-Drew match is good. And I think Drew should win. To me, that only makes sense. Now, do you do the cash-in after, like I said? Maybe. But Drew beating Seth feels like, yeah, he's earned the moment with the heel run he's on, given that win.
Yeah. I agree. And then, you know, or you just have Punk clock him afterwards, you know, and you assume Punk will be back for SummerSlam?
For SummerSlam, probably, yeah, around that time frame, I think, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, then there's the whole, like, there's always this lingering thing of like, is McIntyre's contract up? Has he re-signed? Has he not re-signed? I have a hard time believing they're going to put him in this type of moment if he's not going to be with WWE in May.
Yeah.
That seems unlikely to me. They, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, they have plenty of like main event level guys. If McIntyre was about to leave, would they have him in a world title match at WrestleMania? I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So I feel like he's gotta. Maybe he hasn't actually re-signed, but it seems like they've got strong assurances that he's not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, you can always, if you're trying to work it out, extend him for 3 months.
True.
And then just have him drop the title at one of the other things.
Exactly. Or do you play into that Punk? You know, that's what Punk did. In what, 2011 or 12?
Yeah.
I win and my contract's up. I'm taking the title with me. And then he disappears for a little bit and then he comes back. And, you can play into the real story by making it part of a scripted story.
Well, and you've talked about, I've heard talk of this too, you know, with the Summer of Punk. You know, you could do this and just go to Ohio Valley Wrestling. go to Tri-State Wrestling, go to Florida Gulf Coast Wrestling, and just bring the title with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And just be like, just anywhere that's not AEW, basically, Japan.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much, I mean, God, they had, the TNA Women's Champ on, like, you know.
Yeah. They've had
a working relationship with other federations now that they didn't used to have.
Yeah, basically, Ring of Honor, AEW, and New Japan are all aligned. Right. Two of them are owned by Tony Khan.
Right.
But that means pretty much everybody else, you could, like, I'm sure that any of these places would do whatever you asked them to do.
Exactly.
If it meant that Drew McIntyre was going to come to their promotion and bring the WWE title with him.
Exactly. Put some butts in the seats and for sure. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think he's going anywhere. I'd be surprised. Certainly if he wins, that would be a strong indicator that he's not going anywhere. I guess if he loses, then maybe he does, but seems like, man, he's on a heater right now. The character's working, this, you know, like sarcastic, humorous, but also whiner heel character is really good. They stumbled into it, I feel like, a little bit, but the patience paid off, and like the slow burn of his heel turn, it's now fully on.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, without Punk's injury, are we at this point where, you know, like, that was kind of the moment that they clicked in when he comes out and says, you know, I prayed for this and it happened. And then it was like, whoa, oh my God, how could you be so horrible? You know, if he's not hurt, I don't know what they're doing with him right now, but they adapted well.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, and they set up the one nice thing about WWE's writing right now, or, you know, however they've done it, is they've built in all of these things for possibilities. Because, like, remember when Punk showed up, not only was Seth, like, yelling and screaming, but they made a point of noting that McIntyre just left.
Right, you know. Right, exactly, yeah. So. Yeah, no, I mean, they certainly have, I mean, and that's one of the reasons that I feel like it's booming so much right now. It's like the storytelling has really been good the last couple of years. I mean, the Bloodline story has fizzled a bit, but man, the build up toward last year's Rumble and Mania and all that was as good as it had been in a while. And it, you know, eventually, you know, you can't stay 10 out of 10 forever. But even though that has kind of faded a bit, so many other stories have been built well. Titles have been built well. You know, like it feels like it matters now. Like, you know, if you don't watch, you're missing something. Whereas for a while there in the 2010s, it was like, man, this happened on Raw. And it's like, did they just forget that it happened? They never followed up on it. There's very little of that now. Like, you know, they're following up on things every week.
Yeah. Well, and it's gotten to the point now where they're leaving you little hints. This was, as you can tell, I listened to Cheap Heat. This was in the Cheap Heat mailbag. This week was a guy was like, have you noticed that in the background, Seth's never like smiling or cheering on Cody, and then Cody will turn and look at him and then he'll be smiling and cheering. It's like, I hadn't noticed that at all, but maybe it's nothing, but maybe it's everything.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's like all the Rock stuff that people are reading into. Like when a couple weeks ago, when he said, you know, I'll make sure that, you know, he's supposedly talking about Cody, but he says, I'll do everything I can to make sure you come out a loser. And he's pointing in the direction of Roman. And it's like, well, does that mean something? Or the, how he puts up the one, but he doesn't do it right. He has his thumb out when he puts up the one, unlike the rest of them. And is this, like, you know, I mean, like, I don't know if it's accidental, but yeah, we've got people like reading into things. Like, are you hinting towards something? Maybe you are, maybe you're not.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's great because it's gotten to the point now where we get to like look into these things and be like, I don't know, I think it is something.
And it, you know, it almost feels like in a way they also like pay attention to the reactions and then play into those reactions. Like, you know, the Becky wins the Elimination Chamber and the reaction, oh, Becky wins, it's all about her. So, well, then what do they do the next week? You know, Liv confronts her backstage and says, you know, it's not all about you every time. Like, well, okay, that's new. It's almost like, you know, they're reading the fan reaction, like, all right, well, we'll lean into it a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good right now. It really is. Like, the Final Four is the same night as night one, and the Final Four's here, I'm going. But, you know, there's a part of me that's like, God, I kind of would rather just, like, stay home and watch night one.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to Sunday watching that live.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
It should be. It should be. I mean, it's been built very well. And, I mean, the card is, you know, the title matches are all, the world title and, you know, the top two men's and women's titles are already set up. Got good, you know, stories going into all of those. You know, we'll see what they end up doing with Intercontinental and U.S., I'm hoping they do something. They're hinting at, like, some sort of announcement with the tag titles, like something where they maybe split them up. I feel like they should have done that a long time ago. They got good tag teams now. Like, they've done a good job of building depth in the tag division. Like, we need the two sets of titles again. You know, like, we don't – I think just having one leads to too many where you're just, like, wasting time with them.
Yeah. Yeah, or else you run into this, like, we're going to have to do gauntlet matches on every title.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, I mean, I don't know if this is, but, you know, like, you do something at Mania where you have, you know, six teams and the first fall wins the, you know, Raw titles and then the second fall wins the SmackDown titles.
Yeah.
Something like that, where it's like, okay, we're going to split the titles. If you win the first fall, you're out. You walk away with your set, you're done, and then everybody else is still alive to win the second set.
I like that.
Something along those lines, yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm wondering. Have we reached the point now where there will be a women's mid-card?
You know, I've heard that suggested, and it's probably not a bad idea.
Like, because you've got a lot of people who are not credible threats to be, right, you know, in the Becky, Rhea, Bianca, exactly,
yeah,
mold.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
Like, she feels like one that if there was an intercontinental title for women, you know, like, that's how you, okay, she's popular, the fans are reacting to her, she's new. She's probably not, you know, like, do we want to push her all the way to the top of the women's card? No, not yet. But, yeah, an intercontinental U.S., whatever you call it, type title, would make a lot of sense. As they build depth, you know, you have the two world titles. Okay. That's, you know, but still, like, at most that gives you a pool of like five or six at a time.
Yeah.
Even if you go with triple threat matches. So, like, yeah, give us a secondary level title that, you know, can kind of become something. I don't know how you introduce it. That's one of those that, like, you got to make it seem relevant while also kind of being clear that it's not quite as important.
You do a tournament. Oh, well, or you promote the NXT. You can make the NXT could. Women's title.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that being, you know, discussed just recently, and like it does make sense as you have, you know, you bring back Naomi, and it's like, well, right now she got a pop at Royal Rumble, and like, well, okay, what are you doing with her?
Yeah.
Because she's not in the title picture. And she's not a part of a tag team, and so, yeah, you know, she's just, like, fighting meaningless matches. If you had a mid-card title, she could be involved in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, like, it's also, like, your Piper Niven, Chelsea Green
tier
of, like, I guess you could just have them job out to your six women at the top.
Right, right.
But, like,
I mean, yeah, Chelsea Green would be a good one to put a title on. Like, she's not a world title level, but she's, you know, the fans are reacting to her. Her character is over. Like, you know, you have her cheaply win the title, and, you know, and she could be the annoying heel who won't fight anybody and, you know, cheats to win. And it's like, that would work, I think.
Yeah. But it's just people who, like, are not credible for the,
right,
you know,
the World Championship or whatever they call them now. Yeah, they don't call them Raw and SmackDown anymore. Women's World Title and whatever. I agree. I mean, you know, that would make sense, and that's something you could do post Mania too. Way to, you know, build some interest toward Backlash or something like that. You have the final of a tournament there.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, there's a lot, and that let's talk about Sting. Let's talk about the goodbye to Sting. In his 60s, broke in with Ultimate Warrior.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, ending. I don't know if you saw the pictures or the video of his kids doing the different era Stings.
I did. They look like him.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I saw a picture, and I honestly thought it was like mannequins that were, you know, and then I'm like, oh my God, these are real people. Yeah. They did a good job of getting them to look exactly like him when he was in those older gimmicks.
Yeah. The one who looked like the Surfer Sting was like,
yes. Yeah. No, I don't know how much they look like him in real life. Like if you saw him with
no paint.
The made up look was like, wow. Yeah. They really do look like younger versions of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's I don't want to be like too, you know, cynical, but are we totally certain that was his last match? Because I'm not.
I think so, because I don't think he'll ever go back to WWE.
No, I suppose not.
And so
I just, wrestler retirements or like boxer retirements, I feel like, you know, or bands going on their farewell tour. Like, you know, it's easy to a year from now be like, one more. I could do one more match. Sure. Yeah. Draw some eyeballs. I mean, how many times did The Undertaker have supposedly his last match? And I'm not 100% certain he's done.
Well, he's not done collecting checks.
He's certainly not. He's certainly not done with that. And like every time I'll see, you know, oh, The Undertaker's in really good shape. Like, no, don't do it, man. He might be in good shape for his age, and that's great. But we don't need another Undertaker match. It's done. But, you know, if they get desperate for a draw in Saudi Arabia, am I ruling out him fighting one more match? Certainly not. And I'll say the same with Sting. I mean, I don't know him at all. I mean, obviously, I don't. But it's just like a guy who's worked that long, it's hard for me to believe that his retirement is like, yep, done. Never gonna see him in the ring again. If I'm wrong, I'll own it. And I'll be happy, because I respect the way he went out on this one. It's like, all right, let's be done.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, unlike a lot of those guys, he's cashed a check this whole time.
Yes, you know? That's true.
Like, he had WCW, he went to TNA, he had
his mini run in WWE.
Yeah.
Which didn't really work out great. Yeah. I mean, you know, he had his WrestleMania match, which is cool. Would have been cool if we could have had a Sting Undertaker match. Yeah. That always feels like a missed opportunity that they didn't do that. But, you know, oh well. Should he, you know, this is one of those age-old questions. Should he have beaten Triple H at that WrestleMania match?
Do I think so? Yes.
I kind of feel like he probably should have, but I also understand why they did book it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a classic, you know, way to, you know, put one more nail in the coffin of WCW.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think...
I don't think it's as egregious as the Booker T Triple H WrestleMania match. From, I believe, 19, or I think it was 19. Like, Booker T should have won that. That was a bad decision, and it still goes down as one of the worst decisions. You know, like, Booker was an up-and-comer, and one of the only guys they got out of WCW that had, like, you know,
had a top-level
potential.
Yeah.
And to have him lose, he should have won that match. Sting was not going to be a future main event guy for them. Like, it was a Legends match. So, long-term, I don't think it had any repercussions, but, you know, it kind of buried him a little.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think the other thing was, had you known that he was going to get hurt and not compete really again under your brand, like, you know, all of their video is.
How many matches did he have in WWE? Like three?
Yeah.
It was very. It was. Didn't he fight Rollins once? And that's when he got hurt, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, and that was it. And
the buckle bomb move that Rollins used to do. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it didn't work out great. I mean, they had the moments, which was cool. He was one of the, you know, white whales that they'd never gotten. And so they got him. And, it, you know, again, he had some cool moments. But, yeah, the little tenure did not go as well as I'm sure anybody hoped.
Yeah. I think that's a regret, but they also own all the rights to all of his good matches and all
they
of
do,
his good
they
times.
They do,
so.
Yes, they do, yeah, yeah, which is always still so crazy. It's good for like the history books, but it's still, you know, as somebody who followed it, at least at the tail end of the you know, WCW, WWF wars, it's crazy that they refer back to WCW stuff now. Like, man, oh, man, to imagine telling someone that in 1998.
Yeah,
and, you know, like, oh yeah, soon there'll be a streaming service. First of all, you wouldn't know what that is, but there'll be a streaming service where all these matches are together, and they embrace each other, and it's all under one umbrella.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's
crazy.
It's
yeah,
it's an insane thing to like try to explain to 12-year-old me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when you think about how intense that battle was, and man, it was like, it was you know, WWF was on the ropes for a while, and it made them get a whole lot better, you know, and you know, going back to the Sting now, like, I'm not a huge AEW fan as a product, but like, I'm glad it exists, because what we just talked about with how WWE's been better the last couple of years, I think in large part it's because there's an actual competitor. You know, there's something that makes them have to be better. They're not just out there on their own, like, well, we can do whatever we want, because if you want to watch pro wrestling, you got to watch us.
Yeah.
Like, now there's an alternative source.
For sure. Overall, though, I'm excited for where wrestling is going.
I agree.
Like, look, AEW has found a niche that does not honestly appeal to me that much, but it's a place where you can see guys have hardcore matches.
I was gonna say, with like the hardcore stuff, yes, yeah, like, it feels like they're really leaning more and more into that as time goes on.
Like, if you want to see thumbtacks, if you want to see
blood,
kendo sticks are probably the only kendo sticks and chairs.
Yeah.
Are like the two things that, you know, still exist on both.
Yeah, on both, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that, but it doesn't, I don't know. Like,
it does not appeal to me. I don't, I'm not here for.
It doesn't appeal to me that much. I mean, like, the occasional match like that, okay, like, you know, Mick Foley would have those back in the day, and it's like, you know, like, all right, this is unusual and whatever. But yeah, having them too often, and you know, and I guess part of the AEW thing is just like a lot of the guys that feel like they're just, you know, old timers.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I told you this years ago, like, for me, it's like, as much as I have enjoyed following it more the last couple of years, I still only have so many hours in the week I'm going to commit to pro wrestling. You know, I'm not gonna like do Raw and Dynamite and SmackDown and, you know, Collision, and I don't have it in me. So I've planted my flag in the WWE side. But again, I'm glad they exist. Like, I don't want to see them go away. Like, I'm not in the mindset of like, well, they need to crush them and take that, because like, no, I followed WWE in the early 2010s when there was no competitor, and it wasn't good. The product was not good.
Well,
and now the product is good, and that's not coincidence.
Well, and that's the thing where you get, there are some people who are like, well, you know, I want mine to win. It's like, I don't need that.
That is not my mind. I think, you know, a lot of WWE people probably are like, well, I want to see them, you know, fall on their face and go bankrupt, and you know, and I think Tony Khan is probably a bit of a D-bag, and you could probably take out the a bit of. I'm not a huge fan of his, so, like, seeing him fall on his face wouldn't bother me, but, like, at the same time, I think it's good for, I mean, look at Cody Rhodes. Like, there's no better example than Cody Rhodes. Like, he was a guy who was being wasted in WWE. And then, I mean, he built the place, or helped build the place, but he made himself into something relevant in this other place. And now he's back, and it's a big deal. You know, and that doesn't happen if there's not a legitimate competitor, a legitimate other place to go for some guys who, like, okay, well, now they come back into the fold. Like, man, I care about them now in a way I never did before.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think there's part of that, too, with the – it is a place for people to – it is a place for people to go.
Yeah.
You know, like – Daniel Bryan's been there a while. I think he'll be back in WWE to end his career.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I think Edge, you know, maybe not as an in-ring performer, but he'll probably be back in WWE at some point in some capacity. He didn't burn any bridges or anything. You know, he's kept good relations. And, you know, there's only so many slots, and there's only so much TV time and pay-per-view time. And there's, you know, there's not enough time for everybody to have theirs on WWE. So having another place where guys can either be built up or reinvent themselves or go for the end of their careers or whatever, like, that's probably a good thing. I mean, you know, Edge wants to wrestle more. There probably weren't those opportunities in WWE for him to be a regular, you know, part of the action.
Yeah, well, and...
Okay,
and
that's fine.
One of the things that I think is of value is his best friend works for the other guy. So
Yeah, I think he wanted to do one more run with Christian, you know, have the, you know, but like, I think he wanted just like more, you know, more prominence, more opportunity, and they weren't going to give it to him. They weren't going to pay him for that. And like, okay, you know, like, good luck to you. And you know, again, they'll probably come back together at some point in the future, I would believe. But yeah, it's a good thing. To have a, I mean, AEW is not WCW level competitor. Like, it's not the late 90s, but at least there's another place for guys to go and women to go to. I mean, you know, they've had some women build up. Jade Cargill feels like she's on the verge of big things in WWE when they finally put her on regularly.
Yeah,
she started there. You know,
on the flip side, Ruby Riott. You know, they decided, right. Hey, we're not doing the Riot Squad. We're not doing, it's like,
true.
Or, you know, and they couldn't figure out what to do with, what's her name? The blonde one who's now got the whole, like, Hollywood black and white starlet thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm blanking on her name, too.
But you, like, you have a place for them to go now.
Right.
You know, where
yeah.
it's like, oh, yeah. We don't know what we're going to do with you. Clearly you're talented. We don't know what we're going to do with you. Well, instead of being buried or out of the business, now she's on TV. She's got a whole gimmick, and it's
agreed. Yeah, no, I think it's good for everybody. I mean, you know, Vince's lesser involvement and now no involvement, I think, is another reason that the WWE is succeeding, because I think Vince had lost his touch. But I mean, again, I will maintain that a bigger reason, I think, is. They have to be sharper. You know, you need competition in a business like that. It's an entertainment business. It's not sports. I mean, you know, it's a little bit sports, but it's entertainment. And if there was only one cop show on TV, it'd be easy for those cop shows to be like, well, who cares what we put out every week? Because if you want to watch one, you got to watch this one. But the fact there's, you know, 15 of them, like, well, we got to be the best. We got to come up with the best storylines and have the best actors and all that stuff. I think that's what we're seeing in wrestling now.
I agree. I just got the tap that my baby is ready to hang out. So we're going to call it. But until next time, he's Matt. I'm Ben. My dad did figure out how to print his QR code, by the way.
That's good. That's good. All right.
And it's the Ben and Matt Sportscast.